And a special happy Easter to all of our guests. God calls us to be joyful, but I'm very aware that sometimes I'm not a very joyful person. During the week, my joy can be up and down. And so I take this to prayer and I say, Lord, what's going on? Why am I always switching between being very joyful and sometimes being down? How about all of you? Are you up and down too? Our Lord, the night before he died, he said, in reference to his upcoming death and resurrection, very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn, but the world will rejoice. You will have pain, but your pain will turn into joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain, but because her hour has come. But when her child is born, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy of having brought a human being into the world. So you have pain now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. St. Bede says something very interesting about this passage. He says, while we're on earth, we're on a journey, we're not yet in heaven, and so difficulties and sufferings are just going to be part of our life. So it's very consoling, because if we're not that joyful all the time, that's okay. That's normal. But he also points out, he says, when we see Jesus again resurrected, our sorrow is going to change into joy. This morning's responsorial psalm says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. So I want to give you three reasons why Jesus' resurrection gives us joy. Here's reason number one. In the gospel last night, the faithful women, they go to anoint Jesus' body at dawn, and they see two men in dazzling clothes who say to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified on the third day, rise again. And then it says, the women remembered Jesus' words. Okay, so the first reason for our joy is that all of Jesus' promises are true. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says, Jesus' resurrection proves all of his promises. Now, Jesus made a lot of promises. He promised he could forgive our sins, he could heal people, he could give eternal life. He even promised that he would rise from the dead. So the easiest way, if you wanted to discredit Jesus, you just kill him. And once he's dead, it's over. It would be the nail in the coffin, so to speak. Oh, wow. That was supposed to be a joke. It's okay. But he was right about his resurrection. He's the only person who's ever been resurrected. And even if someone like Lazarus has died and come back to life, Lazarus died again anyway. By the way, if you ever want me to give the evidence for the resurrection, because a lot of people will say, well, it didn't happen, just let me know after Mass, and we'll do that in the future. We'll try and give the evidence for that. So all of Jesus' promises are true. Now, it's really important then, you have to know what Jesus promised, because sometimes we Catholics, we have these weird expectations of God. So we have a bad week, we have a bad month, a lot of things happen to us, and we're thinking, why is all this happening to us? I thought God wouldn't allow this. He never promised that, right? We're clear on that? So I want to give you what I call my top 10 list of God's promises. These things you can bank on. You cannot bank on having a suffering-free life, no. But these 10, yeah. Number one, forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hope. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Three, fullness of life. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Joy. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Acceptance. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me. A plan for our lives. I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. That our needs would be taken care of. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Love. As the Father has loved me, so so have I loved you. Abide in my love. Eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, these 10 promises are why last night we had three people choose to become Catholic along with their five children. The three ladies have all experienced Jesus' promises and that life that comes from him. If any of you are exploring faith, if any of you are searching for faith, please join us this Thursday for Alpha. Alpha is this great course, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. It always starts with a free dinner, and then a half an hour great video, and then a small group discussion. And the topic this week is, how can I have faith? If you want to join us this Thursday, if you have any questions about Alpha, please just talk to anyone at the welcome booth or anyone who's wearing the red Alpha pin. Our second reason for joy is, it comes from the perspective of the early Christians. So it says, Scripture says, when Jesus appeared, the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So what we want to do is we want to get ourselves in their shoes, in their mind. They are thinking this. After Jesus died, they're thinking, our best friend, our teacher, our leader, the one we believe that is God, he's gone. It's over. There's nothing. Right after they see him, they're astonished and they're thinking, he's really alive. It's true. He's conquered evil. He's won. He's beat the devil. Oh my goodness. So that joy just lasts forever. So the second reason for joy comes from knowing that our Lord and friend, he's won. He's defeated the enemy. In the summers of 2000 and 2001, I was in Harlem, New York, helping these underprivileged kids at a school. And a few years later, I was back in New York for studies, and I happened to go to one their championship basketball game. Now, at that time, I was in the midst of my exams, so I was feeling really stressed out. I happened to see the second half of their game, and it was a great game, super high level. Whenever my boys scored, I shouted so loudly, I even surprised myself, because I was trying to shout louder than everyone else, and they were going crazy. But what happened is when they won, their joy became my joy, and my joy lasted that whole day, even when I was in the midst of the pain of the exams. And so what we learn is that whenever someone we love, whenever they do well, their victory becomes our victory. And the more we love them, and then the greater their victory, the greater our joy. And so you have that in the mindset of the early Christians. It's the greatest victory ever. Jesus won, and we love him so much. And so the joy they have lasts forever. Now that's why they had to share their faith with everyone. That's why they changed the world.